time to feel the rush of the round table live on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Spilled water like everywhere.
Oh, is that what you're doing right now?
So I knocked my water bottle over. Just cleaning that up.
If you hear
a sizzling sound in the next few minutes, you'll know that I didn't get all of it. Roundtable is brought to you by Burke Financial, offering homeowners personalized mortgage solutions. For approvals in as little as an hour and fast funding, visit burkefinancial.ca. Brokerage license number 13111. Joining us, the host of the Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa. Always a pleasure to welcome Bill Carroll.
Good to be here.
And Queen's Park Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star, our pal Robert Benzie. Hey, Robert.
Hi, Jay. Hey, Ryan.
Let's start off with the Prime Minister out on his Saving Face tour on the country's West Coast. I won't play all of his lack of apology, although he expressed deep regrets many times and said that we all need to do better. I thought that this was really interesting, though. Chief Casimir, who was out there with him, sitting beside him, who had invited him to take part in Truth and Reconciliation Day, she really called him on the carpet while sitting right next to him, which I have a lot of time for.
Two letters of invitations were sent to his office to participate in our event. For us, it was to show his commitment to rectifying the historical wrongs of residential school and to grieve with our residential school survivors, whether in person or by a virtual pre-recorded greeting and message for all of us here. Instead, in the middle of truth-telling, cultural grounding and sharing that unfolded as part of the commemoration of the very first National Day of Truth and Reconciliation, in this arbor, a journalist quietly informed us that the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was on vacation in Tofino. The shock, anger, and sorrow and disbelief was palpable in our community, and it rippled throughout the world, to say the least. Today is about making some positive steps forward and rectifying a mistake. We wanted to ensure that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau visited what we refer to as a sacred site, the unmarked burial sites of the confirmed missing children from the Kamloops Indian Residential School.
Bill, I know it's a little longer than a normal clip we would play, but I thought it was some powerful stuff today.
Boom. Drop the mic right on his toe, huh?
Yeah.
Whew, that was something to see. And, you know, this is going to be very subjective, I understand. But to me, the way he refused to look at her during that rant, twiddling the pen in his thumb, looking bored out of his mind like he'd rather be anywhere else, could not be less sincere. Looked like he couldn't give up, you know what, but whatever she had to say. Terrible optics for him. I hope this sticks with him for a lifetime because he deserves it. The idea that you could do something that egregious and apologize and then move on with your life and your job is an outrageous one to me. You know, mistake is, oh, gee, I thought I was supposed to be there at 10. It says 11 in my calendar. Sorry about that. I'm early. That's a mistake. You plan a specific day for a specific reason on an issue that you say is closest to your heart, and then you deliberately go on vacation, try to hide it. That's not something you forgive someone for.
Yeah, Robert, one of our commentators, I think it was Scott Reed, said that this is ultimately going to follow the Prime Minister around almost like a poltergeist, that it's going to haunt him as he continues to try to make right. What did you think of today?
I thought, you know, I mean, what is it, Woody Allen? I guess, are we allowed to quote Woody Allen these days? I don't know. But what did he say? 80% of life is just showing up. And I think what Trudeau did by not showing up on September 30th anywhere was, to Bill's point, really egregious and actually dumbfounding, because there are many things that I would criticize the Prime Minister for. This being so ham-fisted about something so elemental as a Remembrance Day, and that's what this is. This is a Remembrance Day. It's not a holiday, and I don't agree with people who say it should be a holiday like Victoria Day. It should be like Remembrance Day, when we stop and we think and our kids are educated about what happened in these residential schools, the last of which it closed in the 1990s in Ontario, Ryan. You know, this is not something in ancient history. So I think it's really important I think it was important what he did today. Whether he was sincere in his sort of apologies, I don't know. But I thought it was good for the healing process, I guess, that he showed up. And I think that and hopefully he'll know that next year you don't take off to go to Tofino. You go to a service. You go to a residential school and you listen.
The premier today asked to apologize as well, this over divisive comments that he had made about immigrants. Take a listen.
But we need people. And so, folks, if you have some hardworking people, I just have one criteria. You come here like every other new Canadian has come here, you work your tail off. If you think you're coming to collect the dole and sit around, not going to happen. Go somewhere else. You want to work, come here. We have so much work, we can't keep up with it right now.
So what are you hearing there, Bill?
Well, I don't know. He got bad advice there, right? No one's going to remember the first part, which is he's pro-immigration. He wants immigrants to come. And then, but, you know, we want you to work. It's no different than, Ryan, I'm going to hire you for this job, but and bring some friends, but bring hard-working ones, because that's what we need. It would have been okay if he just stopped at... I mean, you kind of assume when you invite people to come to the country, it's because we need people who are hardworking. And most immigrants, like my family and maybe some of yours, that's why they come to this country, to make a better life for themselves. So it didn't need to be said, and it doesn't sound good. So, yeah, he'll wear that one for a while, too.
Do you think that one's going to last a while, Robert?
I'm less sure. I mean, like Bill, my parents came here from, well, my dad's from Scotland, my mother's from Jamaica, and we came to Canada because they came to Canada to give us a better life, and we found one, and I'm grateful that they came here instead of going somewhere else. But I think, and I was looking after, I was watching that live when the premier said that down in Windsor today, and I kind of thought it was a clumsy worded thing because he is a pro-immigration guy. I know that they are desperately worried about the labor shortage in this province. There's literally a couple of 100,000 jobs that they need to fill. So they would love to increase the quota of immigrants coming to Ontario. They would welcome that. And then I looked at his caucus, and there's by my count, there's about 20 new Canadians that sit in the Tory benches with Premier Ford. So I don't blame Andrew Horvath and Stephen Del Duca for pouncing on these comments, because it was a clumsy and foolish thing to say the way that he said it. But I think Bill's right. People aren't going to remember the first part of it, which was we want people to come to Canada. They're going to remember the second part, which is kind of unfair because, I mean, I don't think we've seen any statistics that suggest new Canadians are on the dole any more than anyone else's. And if anything, they're probably not. They're the most motivated people. They're people who come from far away to work hard and have a better life for them and their families. That's
and
who we want
who knows
in Canada.
Him personally at all knows he doesn't. Yeah. That's not who he is. There's not a racist anti-immigrant bone in his body. There just isn't. I've known him a long time.
Let's talk a little bit about the aforementioned Steve Del Duca. He gave his elevator pitch to Evan Solomon today, our colleague, on our national show for his pilot project that he'd like to get out of the gate if elected premier. Shudder the thought. For the 4-day work week.
Well, the elevator pitch, actually, you delivered a great elevator pitch as I was listening to the intro. People don't have work-life balance anymore in this province. We've seen workers' protections be stripped away. We know people have mental health challenges off the charts because of this pandemic. It's not healthy. It's not good for productivity. It's not good for workers, which means it's actually hindering our economic success. And so I'm prepared to look at anything that will help us get through that and make ourselves more productive and healthier and build an economy from the ground up.
Bill, I almost thought he was going to say, I'm prepared to look at anything that will get us elected. What do you got?
That's one of the dumbest things I've heard, actually, from a politician in a long time. So we have a labor shortage. We should have everybody work less. Or would we work 10 hours a day for 4 days? And then what happens if my company has businesses it deals with outside the province, outside the country, outside the continent? How does all that work? But really, I mean, listen, it is an idea that's being looked at and studied in other places. But with the best promise you can come up with, if you elect me, then I'll seriously take a look at building a platform. Your job right now is to do the research, come up with platform items, and tell us what you're going to do when you get elected. Not what you're going to look into when you get elected. Figure out what you stand for and tell us, for God's sake.
Yeah, Robert, and this is a guy who's not trying to resurrect a party that he was, you know, a longtime part of, a scandal-plagued 15-year government that has been burnt down to the ashes, and he's trying to bring it back up. I'm not sure this one's going to get him out of the gate.
We're going to count you as undecided, Ryan.
just a little bit.
I think the other part of what Stephen Del Duca was talking about this weekend at their AGM was resurrecting the basic income pilot that was around under Kathleen Wynne. And that's, you know, instead of how that's a real sweeping welfare reform that a lot of conservatives actually agree with in the United States and other places. But so he would revive that pilot project. Ford killed it after he won, even though during the last campaign he said he wouldn't kill it. So anyway, that's lots of politicians break their promises, including Del Duca, including Ford. But I think it was an interesting, it's interesting that he's starting to put some policy on the bones. And they got us, look, we're talking about Stephen Del Duca today. Evan had him on his show. If you're the leader of the third party, as Stephen Del Duca is, you should be just happy that anyone's talking about you. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. The other one was the electoral reform, you know, him talking about ranked ballots. I thought that's pretty bold stuff. Some people think it's cynical, and maybe it is, but you know, it's not just, you know, the same old. He's at least actually trying to offer something different. Whether it'll stick with voters, I don't know. I really don't.
Sure count on a liberal to reform the election system. That's for sure.
I'm just waiting for my
Trudeau,
invite.
Yeah, Trudeau promised it and they didn't do it. That's right.
Waiting for my invite for a dip in the pool. That's all. Robert, Bill, thank you so much.
See ya.
See ya, Ryan.
Appreciate thanks, guys. That. Of course, our thanks to Mike and to Donnie as well. And to all of you.